amount of people who don't have free will, because ultimately somebody's going to have to do it, right? So therefore, there's certainly somebody who doesn't have free will, because otherwise, you never have anybody to do it. So hypothetically, you can ask the other, but thank God there was enough volunteers. But the writer seems not to be happy with that, so I'm sort of gives a different answer.
Yes?
I was going to say, you could say that, well, there's two things. One, you could say Hashem knows what you're going to pick, even though there's free will.
Uh-huh.
So when he wants something to be done, he knows that the people there, that there are certain individuals who will choose to do that, even though they have the free will to do it. So it's like one of the same paradox.
Right. Could be, yeah, you could
or
say,
you could say that maybe, like, if no one were to do it, if everyone were to just suddenly become true, like Baal Tshuvas, no one were to do it, then you just send a monk and a human body to do it.
I guess you could do say that, but the Rambam holds, by the way, wouldn't have
right.
to run because they'll come in human bodies. So the so there Reb Sodik said in his own shot, which is his own sort of approach, which is that the punishment which comes to an individual comes because of the pleasure he receives when he does a bad thing, not because of necessarily because of the bad thing itself. Meaning that if a person gets what we call a geschmack, he gets really pleasure and fulfillment and feels good about doing this bad thing, so he's punished for what he did bad. Not for what he did bad, but for the bad thoughts which accompanied it. The enjoyment, the pleasure which he got, that's what he's punished for. It's interesting because the converse is also true. Because right now, every one of us sitting in this room is fulfilling at least 365 mitzvahs by refraining from 365 negative commands which are in the Torah. Hopefully we're not transgressing any of them, at least not at this moment. But
are
never...
Are you involved thought purely?
What?
Are you transgressions involved thought purely?
Okay,
thought.
Few of them, yes.
Thinking about what
idolatry.
No, <thanks.
laughs> So licentious behavior.
Behavior?
No, licentious.
You can't think about licentious behavior?
Not supposed to. It's not clear it's 100 yeah, not supposed to, yes.
Oh, you just went from it's not clear to you not
no, no, it is I've remembered you're not supposed to. Yeah. So that's the licentious thought. Okay, maybe we're only doing 363. But anyway, the bottom line is that the reward for those 363 or 365 mitzvahs is minimal. Because it doesn't enter our conscious minds at any time during this period to go and transgress any of these mitzvahs. And as a result, yeah, it's really habitual. It's not really something rote. It's not really something which is significant. That's why the Rambam says, very famous Rambam says in his introduction to Pirkei Avos, you're not supposed to say, this is the Rambam, you're not supposed to say how disgusting this ham sandwich is, but rather you're supposed to say, oh, how wonderful this ham sandwich must taste, but nevertheless I cannot have it because God commanded me not to.
But you can't put yourself in situations, right?
What?
You can't put yourself in tempting situations.
Well, if you were a very, very great person, you would be allowed to. But the,
really?
Yes, yes.
You could say, I'm going to go and sit in the corner of that McDonald's, cover my yarmulke because of the Sinai Kodesh Hashem, just sit in the back of the McDonald's and smell the fries all day and just restrain myself.
Right.
And then that's a good, pious thing to do.
Yeah, if you are sure, but you have to be sure of yourself.
Then you won't buy the fries.
Right. Or eat them. Yes. So you can buy them and eat them.
Right.
You know, buy the fries, give them out to all your...
So even friends. Better, you put the fries in front of them, buy them, and put them in front of them.
That's right, that's right.
Just there.
Yeah. So a person who would be in our very high level, he would be allowed to do that, but most people don't do it because they don't want to take chances. Both the punishment and the reward, in other words, the quality of an activity is defined, according to themselves, not so much by what you do, but your reactions within your mind, which is, of course, antithetical to the Rambam, because the Rambam holds that everything you do is defined by what you do. And in fact, the Chaim Volozhner, who's the great antagonist of the Hasidim, says that we judge a person on his deeds, not on his intentions. Now, the truth is, the Buddha could agree to that, too. He could say, yes, deeds are very important, but nevertheless, he places a far greater stress. I shouldn't say he agrees. He really can't agree. But he could come halfway and say, yes, deeds which you're responsible for, deeds you're responsible for are more important than thoughts. But there are deeds, according to Reb Sodik, according to this Hasidic approach, for which you are not responsible. Why? It's not the devil made me do it, but rather God made me do it. That's important, right? And he explains. So he says, let's see this inside, from, pick it up from here. Then the bottom of the fourth column, the 9 lines to the bottom. Right, last word in the line is assured.
Yeah.
Got it? Now that's about first column. So Ashur and Buchanetzar, who are God's emissaries to punish the Jewish people, etc., Akshem Klisa Moshe Kodesh Baruch Hu, even though they are the tool of God's anger, Mikom Mikom, nevertheless, Lo Shayach Lo Mash HaKodesh Baruch Hu Oso Bem Shlichuso. You can't say that God does that which he fulfills his mission with them, because they do the with their own will, the cheshkom and their own desire, that which they're not decreed to do. In other words, don't think that they're compelled in the sense that their will is compelled. They might only be compelled in the sense that their deed is compelled. Let's explain that more in a few minutes. With this, you can also understand what it says. Moshe Rabbeinu was told before his death. He was told, the Kom Ha'am Hazeh V'Zonah. God says to Moshe, after your death, this nation is going to arise and rebel against you. They're going to commit grave sins. And the Chorah Bo V'Gremer. And I will get angry at them. They're up to the top of the second column. Uba Gemara, and the Gemara, Dikum Imkum Yikor Hazeh, they inferred from this, from this pasuk, Shakodish Boch Yodeh Masha Tilu. The two hands pointing up. The Gemara Dikum Yikros there, and the Gemara they inferred from this pasuk, Shakodish Boch Yodeh Masha Tilu. Hashem knows that which is going to be in the future. Valzeh Shalu Imken Rami Agilema Onish Vachavona. And therefore they ask, why are these people punished? Why is Am Yisrael punished? Because if Hashem predicts that they're going to do it. So obviously there's many answers to the question. But here he says, Omnom be'emes Hashem is bara. His answer is, God bara hayesa hara, God created the evil inclination, shifate sa'adam, to seduce a person. Moshe Amru, like the rabbis say, barati yetzer hara, Hashem says, I created the Yetzer Hara. Avala Adam Tariq is Gabala, but a person has to overcome the Yetzer Hara. In other words, God created your evil inclination, the inclination to do bad. I don't like the word evil so much, but the bad inclination, and it's upon you, it's incumbent upon you to overcome that bad inclination. V'yesefamim, but sometimes, so Adam Anus, a person is compelled. Anus means he does something beyond his control. And he can't overcome his negative. Right. So, please, but you shouldn't interrupt the shiur about that, because that's not really relevant to the shiur. Okay? So he says, when is the case of this? Interesting case. So he says, Kamova Adam Harishon, it says by Adam Harishon, by Adam, by Kuf Lamachana in the 130 years of Chazi Lom Tse, for 100, the Medrash says, whatever the Medrash means, maybe it can be taken literally, it says that Adam, for the 130 years between the death of Cain and the birth of Sheth, he was sitting in a river. He was trying to do tshuva. He was sitting in a cold river, obviously, trying to afflict himself and punish himself for having eaten from the tree. And it says, during those 130 years, he was consistently and constantly motzi zera v'atola, having emissions from his, having emissions which are normally associated with bad, in other words, licentious thoughts, right? He didn't bring them on, intentionally bring them on, but he was constantly having emissions because he had thoughts which are bad.
Because he was away from his wife the whole time.
Well, yes, he was away from his wife. And the question is, he was a very pious person, Adam Arishon. Right? Imagine we heard about a certain tzaddik that for his entire life straight he'd be emitting semen constantly, time after time
in
after
river.
Time. Yeah, we're not
in a river.
It would not be particularly. It would not take him as a particularly righteous person, right? Being somewhat of a rude, as a dirty old man. So the Adam Arishon was a great chassid, right? Shabbat tshuva. He did tshuva. He certainly should have been careful not to think licentious thoughts. And certainly he was. Ela korchach. So he says in front of an amazing concept. It must be shagam ha-hirur ha-yola onso. It must be that the bad thoughts were also compelled. They are brought on him by God. This is an amazing concept. Shalom yuchal yizgah ba-yitzhar. God prevented him from overcoming his yitzhar hara. Now, I just want to point this. This is amazing thing because it says, if God dictates your thoughts, so what's not dictated, right? God dictates your deeds, God dictates your thoughts, what's not dictated? So the important distinction in Hebrew, you don't have
English.
Right. The important thing was, the important distinction you have in Hebrew, you don't have in English, which is between we don't have specific words for them. The two words are here words, and Machashava. They're both words for thought. Hirur and Machashava. But Machashava comes from the Hebrew word chesbon. It's related to the word chesbon. And chesbon means to reckon something. In contemporary Hebrew, chesbon means mathematics. So the Machashava is a deliberate intellectual thought. It's something which you make a reckoning and determination and logically go through a process. A hirur is a thought which enters your mind at random. It's not a planned and logically methodically thought out thought, but something which comes at random. And I think that it's related, this is just my hunch, that it's related to the word har. Har means a mountain, right? So in other words, something which rises up within you. A har is a mountain of it. The word, just as an aside, the word hara, which is also in your hara means presence, right? And that's also related to a mountain, I assume, because the mountain goes this way. So something that's stressed out is considered. So a person can get Yehurim sent to him by Hashem. Those are random thoughts. Of course, the best time we usually have our random thoughts is when we daydream, right? That's why, daydream is free association time. But deliberate thought and machshava, we only have relatively rarely. Deliberate thought is something which, it's something which is certainly the minority of the time. But Yehurim can be both positive or negative. It can be either positive or negative. For example, so we have the concept of Hirhurei Aveira. Hirhurei Aveira are those random thoughts of sin which enter a person's mind and he entertains them in his fantasy or his imagination. And then, on the other hand, there's something called Hirhurei Tshuva. Hirhurei Tshuva are random thoughts which enter a person's mind of doing Teshuva. It's interesting that we know that Hirhurei Tshuva can be sent to you by God the same way Hirhurei Aveira can. Meaning there are certain times when Hashem sends down a message to you. You don't necessarily say, no, it's coming directly from Hashem, because you are not a prophet, but those messages come to you to do tshuva, or whatever other good deed. So it's not something which you deliberately planned, thought out, and logically pursued, but it's something which came to you as a result of some random thought straying into your consciousness. Is that clear, then, to Chinyura and Mashava?
Like subconscious versus conscious?
No. They're both fucking taking place in your conscious. But one is something where your mind deliberately brought an issue into the fore of your conscious mind. It brought them into that core, whether by an external stimulus or by internal stimulus, and now considers and carefully plans or logically analyzes the idea, and something which enters your consciousness from somewhere else at random. And usually then, as I say, it's associated with daydreams. It comes from imagination, from your fantasies, right? From some other source. That is considered to be a hirur. And what Reb Tzadik is saying is that your hirurim are sent to you by God. Sometimes. In other words, not only are deeds, are actions sometimes dictated by God, even those hirurim are sometimes dictated by God. Both bad and good. You don't have to like what Rav Tzadok says, but you do have to understand it.
So what he says, when one of these hirurim comes into your head, it's bad. So you should just be like, ah, it's a hirurim.
What?
So just basically he's what he's saying is that sin all you want because you don't have control over that, but make sure you just don't enjoy it. Make sure you've had an awful experience.
No, but there's another part to it, which is that if you do sin, you have to do tshuva. And therefore, even if you're not aware whether you are, not aware. Maybe it was not your free choice. Maybe it was God made you do it. But if God made you do it, He's sending you a sign that you must do tshuva on this as well. That's also part
even
of the
even if you didn't enjoy it?
Right, even if you didn't enjoy it. Because there's a special law of Avera. If you did Avera, even if you didn't enjoy it, you have to do tshuva. Don't say anything about enjoying
it. But
true, but you still have to do tshuva for it.
Right.
What is it, Noah?
It's a shin. It's a script shin. So the chiddush again of Reb Tzadok. What Reb Tzadok's new idea here is twofold: A, that your actions can be dictated. B, they can't. You never know. They can't be dictated. B, that even those hirur type thoughts can be dictated as well. And therefore, he's saying by Adam Arishon during those 130 years. When he had Yehurei Avera, it came from outside. He tried to suppress them. He made a conscious effort to suppress them, but he was not capable of doing so. Why? Reb Tzadok is going to explain. The time when most of us get Yehurim, so those random thoughts which enter our mind, of course, is our most thoughtful time, which is usually for most of us when?
Bathroom, sleeping. That's what I think the most.
In the bathroom, right?
In the bathroom or what?
I don't know, you're better different than I am. During davening, during Shmoneh Esrei. I get more random thoughts during Shmoneh Esrei than any other time of day. What? That's one way of looking at it. Yes, no, it's because it's a thoughtful time, and we're not capable, since we're not used to controlling our thoughts, we don't practice that kind of discipline, so therefore things enter our mind during Shmoneh Esrei. Does that ever happen to you?
You know,
barely.
Wow. You're a holy kind of guy.
No, I'm really not.
Maybe because you're Cohen.
Because I don't know the language that well, so when I'm reading Shmoneh Esrei, I need to focus on what I'm talking
more,
about.
You're more directly involved. Doesn't just roll up.
Because I don't memorize it, so I don't.
Okay, that's interesting. Okay,
because brain stimulation, and that when we pray, we kind of clear our mind, suppress it, and quiet things down. And our body doesn't want things quiet. We live in such a loud society.
That
we want to have things going on. So,
just Raquel Welch! Right. Raquel Welch. I think she's over the hill at this point.
She's on TBS now.
Okay. That's where they send them to retire.
That's right.
Yeah, that would be, I would agree that's the finished for essay. Ron obviously doesn't have this problem. So the Baal Shem Tov actually addresses this issue. Baal Shem Tov says, what happens if I tried to say this over in the girls' high school I teach this morning, it didn't work. It was not successful. But here, this is a boys' school, so this might work here. The Baal Shem Tov says, what happens if during the thoughts of during the Shem Tov you get thoughts about a beautiful woman?
Oh, that's not good.
Raquel Welch.
Go back to the first office, Salachna.
Right. So the Baal Shem Tov says, of course, there's several ways to deal with these Yehurim. One of them is to try and fight it head on. The Assessor says it never works, because the more the fight, you fight the Yehurim, the more it comes back, right? The more the stronger it becomes. Another way is to kind of wait. The Satchel Nesh until it goes away, because Yehurim also have, you know, shelf, very, very, very short shelf life.
Never look at girls again.
Never look at girls again. That's probably another possibility. the Baal Shem Tov advises, Baal Shem Tov says you should take that thought about a beautiful woman and channel it and direct it and expand it. Which is, I think, if this woman... Probably not what Baal Shem Tov suggests, but you'll tell me. So Baal Shem Tov says that was money. Say your money or your life. More kind of okay. So the Baal Shem Tov says you should take that thought and expand it and think, if God created such beauty, how amazing God must be. In other words, you should use that thought as a stepping stone towards great appreciation and love of Hashem. If I love the woman, how much more should I, or be infatuated by the woman, perhaps more correctly, and how much more should I be infatuated with Hashem? Now, was that what you were referring to?
No. Could you also say, like, all the pleasure that I'm thinking about with this woman, I wish I had that pleasure about Torah or like something like that.
Yeah, that would also be a similar idea. But it would somehow. So that's how.
Does the Chazal say that like people like who learn a lot eventually you can get to the point where you have the same lust for learning as you do for women or something?
So the point is that you can take the Hirur, according to the Baal Shem Tov, and expand the Hirur and work on it in order to make it something, expand perhaps not the right word, to kind of spiritualize it in order to make it more in sync with your davening. So be that as it may, what he says here is that even Hirurim come to a person's mind without necessarily his own will, but to come from God. And he continues and says, Vimayak Rabbi Meir. Were others be like Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Akiva? We are in the second column. In the second column, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 lines down. Vimayak Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Akiva. Were others be like Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Akiva? Bevadai Gandhi Zehayonito. Would certainly have been saved also from Hirhurim. Why? Hashem is going to be other because Hashem says Hashem doesn't leave a great tzaddikim in the hands of the Yetzer Hara, and for you machizim alav arakir when it pronounced upon him in Shamayim in heavens, he's double to plenty, but also be careful about so and so. In this case, Adam and his player. In other words, the Yetzer Hara should not affect him. K'moshi chizu Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Akiva, right? The decree of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Akiva. It's a heavenly decree. They should be free of the Yetzer Hara. It's interesting, there is a Brisa, an Avos Rabbi Nosson, a compendium of Brisas, from which the Avos was taken. Avos is like, Pirkei Avos, is like the Mishnah. So Avos Rabbi
Nosson. I tried to eat it up, but it stopped too fast.
I have another dollar. I might have some change, but I'm not sure it's going to be enough to get.
Buy something heavy that's above
it.
I'll buy the same thing, get it plus.
The, cheers, the nice one to give. So Adam Arisho didn't have this announcement made about him, but the Rabbi Akiva didn't have the story in Ovis Rabbi Nosson, which would say that once the Roman emperor or Roman governor wanted to test Rabbi Akiva, and he's put Rabbi Akiva in a room with two prostitutes, two beautiful, beautiful prostitutes, overnight, right? And in the morning, these two prostitutes, who obviously were trying all night to ply their wares, came to the governor and complained. He said that you put us with a firm man who doesn't conduct himself like normal men, right? He didn't pay any attention to us, right? So they were complaining, actually. I guess maybe their wages were contingent on success. So the king's governor goes to Rabbi Akiva and says, I understand, aren't these beautiful human beings? Right? So why did she do like any other red-blooded American would have done? So Rabbi Akiva said, to me, they look like two buckets of excrement. say. I'm not sure if I'm phrasing it exactly the way it says it there, but something along those lines. So the idea is that Rabbi Akiva was not subject to the Eight Torah, like it says over here. They announced him, they, in Shamayim, there was a decree not to entice Rabbi Akiva, and therefore he saw these women not by their externals, but rather he saw their internals. And their internals were, you know,
gross.
Disgusting, gross things. Right? Yeah.
Is that what...
They still get the schar for the reward? I mean,
not as much. Not as much.
Not at all.
What? Not 100. What? 100. Don't worry, Rabbi Akiva had plenty. Yeah, Rabbi Akiva was okay. I wouldn't worry about Rabbi Akiva's reward. Also, I bet you Rabbi Akiva wasn't worried about Rabbi Akiva's reward. You know, the second mission of the Avos says you're not supposed to serve God in order to get reward. You're supposed to serve God in order to, because you have no God. So Rabbi Akiva was probably not concerned with that. So this idea should apply to other Marishon, but it didn't, because because he was ruined by the snake. Lo ne'azam me'Hashem yisbach, he wasn't helped by Hashem. Rishon me'mikach el Yetzer Hara, to be preserved from the Yetzer Hara, and therefore he gave birth to all these demons joining the sun.
I need a note, and
and also, I need
80 cents. I don't have 80 cents.
You need a note?
A note that says back off the sun. Why?
Where'd you get a banana
from? Well, from my church. Because the turning scene went up from the church that lives like that.
A note? I'll give you 80 cents if you give me a note that I'm your son.
You need an envelope? You need an envelope?
I'm not sure that we
put my name
in the machine.
Wait, you're putting a note into the machine? Don't put a note into the machine.
It's cursed, yeah. Cursed my name.
Somebody told me that trick.
Yeah, good luck.
You're putting a note in the machine?
Anyway. Moving right along. So it says here, and this also, it says in Tzadok, V'zel Shenema, that's what it says, Kama Ama Zevizana, that Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu before he dies, this nation will arise and will go astray. Sheila also, says Hashem, it's going to be, not because they desire to go astray, because I'm going to frame them. Right? And that's the sort of thing is, God frames people. Right? I always said, although I never thought of it explicitly, that clearly God framed other Marishon too. Right? It was a setup, obviously.
Right.
But I never found it explicitly in any say for... There was one somebody got very upset at me for saying that. But I think that is... You see, that God does frame people. Right?
I need
80
cents. Why? I don't have it. That's a sting operation. Right? So the reason why he does that is in order for that person to realize... It's like a wake-up call, you know? Now, you've done something wrong, let's see if you get back in the other path.
Why does he need a wake-up call if he didn't do anything wrong?
Because there's something inside him
that would do
that. You know, the important gra, I think I mentioned in the past, the gra said the reason why we are alive in this world, the reason why a person is alive in this world is to break the negative trait, which he hasn't broken till now. And if a person doesn't work on breaking his negative traits, there's no purpose in his life.
But once he does, then he dies.
What?
Then once he breaks that negative trait, then he dies.
No, all negative traits. He has many negative traits. There's always one more to work on. I don't know if that's true. So you're right. When he eventually breaks all his negative traits, so I guess he dies. He dies whether he breaks it. At some point, he dies whether he breaks him or not.
You don't have any.
And you're a big target. So the... So the bottom line is that Hashem was going to frame somebody, and as a result, he knows that they're going to sin. And he says here, they will not be able to overcome the Yetzer Hara and to conquer it. They're going to have to sin. When we come, nevertheless, even though they're going to have to sin, Nevertheless, it says they're going to be punished as idolaters. The chara api, the glena. I'm going to get angry with them. Why? Because it is predicted by him, or he sees, not that he predicts, but he sees, Mishayeh, Mishayeh, Becheshek, Vanoh. If a person will be over there, it's amazing thing, so it says. If a person will be over there, he bowed down to an idol. But he had no, but he, you know, he had no paycheck, no desire, no pleasure from it. He took him. He was free, and especially if he's framed by God, he's taking them. There's no, what is he, how are you going to make him liable? But they're going to do it with paycheck and with hanoah. They're going to do it with pleasure and with enjoyment. And with desire and with enjoyment. So very interesting voice from the Alter from Slabodka. The Alter from Slabodka, one of the great Muslim masters, he has a question about Yaakov and Dina. It says Dina was raped by and taken captive by Shechem ben Hamor because he refused to make her available to Esau. Right? He hid her in a box so Esau shouldn't desire her and marry her. So, and therefore it's punished that she got raped and taken into captivity. So the Alter from Slabodka asked, what are you supposed to do? Is Tata supposed to give it to Esau? You know, what a son-in-law, right? This is the truth. He was supposed to surrender Dina to Esau. Makes no sense. So Alter from Slabodka said, of course he was supposed to hide her in a box. And that was the right thing to do. He was punished because when he banged the nails into the box, he didn't say, oh, it's too bad I can't give Dina to Esau. He said, ah, gevaldig, I'm saving Dina from Esau. That was that was why he was punished for that.
So Kohen Reb thought the only free will you have is with makshavas, with your calculated thoughts and your calculated actions. So like an action, you say, I'm calculating logically that I'm going to do this and do it, then you're rewarded or punished.
Right. If you have a deliberate actions, which you do, those are the ones you have responsible for. Yes, what is it?
Yeah,
we're going to start eating four attention because we're going to finish no matter what. Okay, just going to do a few more lines. Okay, so I'm not finishing. So it says, and again, it says that he knows the sentence to do with paycheck, with desire, with I know it's pleasure. Below the Yetzirah Sardai is not going to be like a fly or like a frog. Also, Rachel kind of says Hashem is rough, only does what he does to fulfill God's decree, but if Mr. Kuson does it with God's agency. If a person would do this Aveva, below Shum Hanoah the Cheshet, without any pleasure or desire, Rachel Baal Chaim, just like an animal, who does what he does through the agency of Hashem, the Cheshet is a Rachel in it. And he would do this only because he's compelled. She can't go for the author's work because God's foreknowledge compels him. Lo haya nenash krah. He will not be punished at all.
So like Mussolini, if we say that Hashem controls King
Hitler. I like Mussolini.
Okay, fine.
Well,
Stalin.
I like Mussolini, right.
Stalin, let's say, right? Killed 50 million people. So Mr. Stalin, if he was supposed to be in history and God was directing his every move because he was, you know, supposed to be Stalin, and he didn't get any pleasure from it, then he would be not punished for anything he did.
Right.
But we assume that he got pleasure from it?
Yeah, but a Stalin I know about. Yes. Stalin got derived tremendous pleasure from everything. Right. From sending people to their deaths. That was, it was very pleasing to him.
So what, Mussolini felt bad?
I don't know. Mussolini was a piker. You know, he wasn't compared to the big guys. He didn't do that much. He also wasn't so anti-Jewish. Mussolini. It was really Hitler. What? No, he didn't. It was Hitler who forced him to start collecting the Jews, and it was the Germans who killed that, wasn't the Italians who did it. So wasn't as bad a guy as the other ones. I know that's a tremendous level of us, so he wasn't as bad. So
fascists go.
He wasn't so bad. The he said, "Vatigam Cheshem Teva Rasam." Even though this desire, even though you might say, "Well, this desire and this will know that Hashem is Barak, that it's known to Hashem, right? Hashem knows ahead of time that this person is going to do this out of his own free will. That already has to do with the ancient question as how can God's foreknowledge be reconciled with the concept of free will. You say, that's not my issue right now to reconcile the two. What I want to point out is that Hashem can decree a person does something and also has a humor in a certain way, but he's punished because of how his machshava was.
But isn't the start of this piece trying to answer the original question?
What?
Isn't the start of this whole thing trying to answer the original question of the
problem? He answered it. He's saying flies don't derive any benefit from what they do. No pleasure.
So the animals don't derive benefit from mating?
What?
He's saying that animals don't derive benefit from...
I guess. I think it's really more of a physiological thing by animals. I don't think it's really done by because it provides them with enjoyment.
For dolphins, I think it does.
What?
Dolphins have relations for enjoyment.
Pigs.
Oh, yeah?
And pigs.
Really?
Yeah.
They don't care about mating seasons.
Okay, that's different. I guess it's very unique, and I was like, I didn't know that. I thought most animals are just, you know...
Yeah, most animals are, but I think dolphins are...
Okay. So I can't tell you about the dolphins. Obviously, there's some deep, dark secret there. But that's asked that by Swiftkin. So, so he says, Kvara Marinu, the lead chef of the board doesn't fall on you. Let's just finish this column. Kvara Marinu, Shemash, Tuss of the Rambam, in his answer for that, says, Shemash, Omer, Anavi, that right over that this is what the Navi says. This is a quote from the Rambam. He quotes the prophet who says, we read this on a tiny sefer, "Ki lo machshavotai machshavoteichem." My thoughts are not your thoughts. I mean, the way I know things is not the same way you know things. Nizkaven gam kein mash amu b'zohar hakadosh. In b'zohar hakadosh, Rambam also alludes, not that he knew the Zohar. Rambam didn't study Zohar, but he has the same concept as that which it says in the Zohar. Shavamokum sheish yidia and b'chira klal. There's a place where there's foreknowledge. There is no b'chira. And there's on the other end, there's a place which Hashem created where there's Bechira. The way we always explain it, is that Hashem exists outside of time. It's not that Hashem knows things beforehand, but Hashem exists outside of time, so therefore He knows everything simultaneously and eternally at the same time. But in any event, says it's not what I answer so far is that everything which a person does is done, perhaps, many things a person does physically, perhaps be compelled, and many thoughts are compelled, but ultimately, a person is judged on his machshava, things he deliberately did, he's judged on his rotzoi, on his will, and his cheshek, on his desire. Now, what the Tzaddik is doing, I'm going to leave it for Wednesday, obviously, he's going to explain, there's another basic building block of Chassidus, is why sins are an essential component of creation. Meaning, sinning is not a bad thing, sinning is a good thing. Okay? But you'll have to wait till Wednesday.
Let's find Dan, Atlantic City, today?
Yeah. Not before Wednesday. Can't do it before Wednesday. Well, maybe we should do it before
Wednesday.
Next year. Okay, so we'll stop here.